This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast on the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and the NESCAC Championships are this weekend for track and field, and they are approaching quickly for the rest of the Bates spring sports. Hear from some of the recent spring standouts on this week's episode of the Bates Bobcast. The men's track and field team won the State of Maine Outdoor Championship for the fourth straight season on Saturday, and senior Jacob Goff was named the most valuable field athlete of the meet. Goff scored points for Bates in all three events he competed in at the meet, winning the state title in the shot put, taking second place to teammate James Guiney in the hammer throw, setting a new personal record with a top effort of 169 feet 2 inches along the way. And to cap things off, he finished fifth in the discus, making Jacob Goff our male Bobcat of the week.
Well, Jacob, first time on the Bobcast, so tell me a little bit about your background. You're from Maine, and how did Bates get on your radar for college being from, you know, from the state?
So I was kind of not going to be a college athlete, never thought about doing track in college until my senior year. Started working with a private coach, kind of had a breakout season, and I reached out to a couple of colleges, but Bates was the first college to reach out to me, and just the legacy with Coach Fresh and all the throwers they had here. It was just such an awesome environment. Took an overnight, fell in love immediately, and I've been here for the last 4 years.
So did you start throwing in high school a little bit then?
I actually started throwing in middle school.
Okay.
Threw a little bit in eighth grade. Didn't really take it seriously. Freshman, sophomore, junior year. Senior year, like I said, took out some private coaching, and he really helped me out. And then it just kind of took off from there. Fell in love with the sport, and been going ever since.
Did you play any other sports growing up, or was it really just throwing?
I was a three-sport athlete. I was a soccer, baseball, and basketball player up until high school, actually. And then I dropped basketball and baseball for track, and then soccer kind of just got in the way at the end. So I was like, all right, we'll drop it senior year, and track was the only thing I did.
I feel like soccer and throwing, there's not much compatibility.
No, and I was way too big to be playing soccer. I was like 300 pounds, not a great look for a soccer player, but it was a fine build for a thrower at the time.
Excellent. So growing up, were you, I mean, being from Maine, how aware of Bates were you? I mean, you're from Scarborough, so a little south, but I mean, like just middle school, high school, did you kind of get aware of it later or early on?
So Bates was actually on my radar really early because my neighbor is the dean of students right now. So I growing up, I hung out with her kid all the time, both of her kids actually, and she had been either the dean of housing that time, and now she's the dean of students. Sure. So I had talked to her about it a bunch, but I just didn't like it until senior year. And then I was like, no, Bates is really awesome. And then here I am. So I knew about it for a while. I just didn't like it for a long time.
Didn't like the idea of staying in state? Or
no, I like staying in state. I almost went to Bowdoin. I didn't mind it. I just didn't know. Bates wasn't for me. And then I took the overnight. I loved the people. And I was like, all right, this is the place.
Excellent. Now, obviously, throws coach, we're working with him right now, Danny Kalina. Tell me a little bit about him.
Danny Kalina is wonderful. He is he has been the source of a lot of help for me. I've done a lot of growing in the last 3 years since he came. He came my sophomore year. I had the first year with Coach Fresh, and he was unbelievable. And then I had some hardship with injuries and some maturing I had to do that he was really patient and helped me walk through, and he's made me an infinitely better thrower. Him and Coach K have really done more than they should have had to do to help me get to where I am, so I just want to say thank you to them.
Awesome. And then in terms of the events, it seems like shot put's your best event. What are your thoughts on the events, kind of?
Shot put is my best event. Shot put is my favorite event. Hammer's a close second, and I hate discus. I don't get it at all. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm tall, and I should throw it, so we do anyway, but it's close enough to shot put where I can make it work, but yeah, shots the core and then hammers the second.
And you got the state title there in the shot put this past weekend, and obviously we'll be competing at NESCACs this weekend, but tell me a little bit about why that event stands out for you as being your favorite.
So being from Maine, hammer really wasn't a thing we could do. We weren't allowed to compete in high school, so shot was the main thing I did. That's when I started working with my private coach in high school. It was July through March, when we were in season, so we did a lot of shot put training, and we didn't really touch the discus. And then when the time discus was going to come up, COVID hit, so it was just, I'd done so much training in shot put, I was just so much better at it, and I just fell in love with it because I was better at it, and it just made so much more sense technically to execute. So I've stuck with it ever since, and here we are.
Now, Coach Kalina was mentioning to me that he loves to have the seniors like yourself work with the first years, the younger throwers, kind of coach them as well. What's that experience been like?
It's been really rewarding, because you come in as a freshman thinking you know a lot more than you do, and you always – I remember I had Johnny Rex, Liam Byrne, John Everett, who were wonderful role models for me. And sometimes you don't always understand where they were coming from, especially as a first year. But to be in their shoes and have that experience, it's really nice to be able to look at the freshman and be like, you have so much potential. You just got to do this and help them kind of calm down, collect themselves, and do the things that you wish you did when you were a freshman, sophomore, and a junior.
Hey, Matt Charbonnier, he's a first year, and he's from Maine just like yourself. So what's that like?
He is. I actually met him in when I was still in high school before I came here. I saw him. He was class B. I was class A. Uh-huh. But I had seen him compete a bunch. I'd heard his name. So it was really cool to get him to commit here and just have him training here. He's unbelievably talented. He's got to get a little bit more technical, but he's got a really bright future ahead of him.
Let's talk about the state meet a little bit. Obviously, another victory for the Bobcats, and it was kind of cool to see James and you go 1-2 in the hammer. I mean, I'm sure you guys take pride in trying to do that, right?
Yeah, it was so cool. James has been there since day one, and having him have so much success, especially this indoor and now this outdoor, has been so cool to see. He's been there the whole time working with me, and he just figured it out this year. He put in so much work this summer where he was training. He was always sending videos, always lifting. His weight room numbers went crazy. So it's really exciting to see him finally get the success he deserves. So it was really awesome to see him win that.
I feel like both of you guys are like on the fringes of like those top 10 lists, but they're so hard to get to, aren't they?
The top 10 lists are brutal. It's so much, you're always excited for the sprinters and the jumpers. Right. And you're like, oh, they're on the top 10 list. Yeah. And you're like, I'm looking at, oh, I'm not an All-American in the weight, so it's not even close. I'm like, oh, I'm top of New England, but I'm like 20th all time at Bates. I'm not even on a top 10 list at Bates yet, and it's just not discouraging, but it's so cool to try and chase those numbers where once you get on a Bates top 10 list, you're like, okay, especially as a thrower, I'm legit. I can it's an accomplishment.
Do you hear from the alums a lot?
I hear mostly from the ones I worked with. Yeah. So I hear a lot from Liam Byrne. Yep. He was someone I looked up to a lot. He graduated last year. He's still throwing at Minnesota sure. State, so we're still close. We still talk a lot, and he was really helpful. Watching him throw and grow, he taught me a lot. Still talk to Coach Fresh quite a bit.
Sure.
He reaches out a lot, which is always helpful because he's such a genius when it comes to technical throwing and just always nice to talk to. We had also Nick Margitza came out to one of our meets, which was always awesome. And Rich McNeil, who actually was a staff member here at Bates for a while. Yeah. So I talked to him a couple. I remember seeing at the field hockey game. I was watching Bates beat Bowdoin, and I was just talking throws with him for a little bit. So it's always nice to have that community around.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you want to share on the state meet and NESCAC's coming up? Anything you want to mention we haven't got to talk about?
Not really. State meet's in the past. NESCAC's the future. We're going to go try and win it. Yep. I mean, you got some big comp. Tuss Williams, Amherst are some big names, but I think Bates can hang with them. So I'm excited to see where it can go.
All right, Jacob Goff, Male Bobcat of the Week. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
The women's track and field team took third at the Maine State Pine Tree Classic on Saturday, with seniors Chrissy Amon and Olivia Kozik winning state titles in the 800 meters and triple jump, respectively. Meanwhile, sophomore Kylie Musante continued her impressive debut track season, winning the 1500 meters in 4 minutes, 47.04 seconds, and helping Bates place second in the 4x400 meters. And she is our female Bobcat of the Week. Well, Kylie, my first question for you is, obviously you are on the soccer team. This year, your sophomore year, decided to join the track team. So tell me a little about what went behind that decision and how you enjoying it so far.
Coach Johnson watched a few of the soccer games and he basically tracked me down and recruited me through watching some of the games. And playing or running track is something that I've wanted to do since high school. And so I finally just said, why not? So I wouldn't have any regrets, and I love it.
Excellent. Did Coach say anything about what he noticed in particular? I mean, obviously speed, but in soccer, what made him think you'd be good for the track team?
I think my tenacity. So, like, when I lose the ball, going to get it back. And I think he likes my aggressiveness as a soccer player and thought that that would transfer to track.
Great. Well, when you were in high school, obviously playing soccer, looking for colleges, what made Bates the place for you?
Bates, the recruiting process was kind of difficult for me soccer-wise. I mean, injuries, COVID, and all that kind of messed it up. And so Bates was actually added to my list kind of later on in the process. And through just looking at different NESCACs, I knew they were insanely good schools. And then I visited Bates, and I just loved it. So.
Gotcha. And then, you know, what's it been like transitioning from one sport to another, you know, fall into winter in terms of this year, soccer into track? What were some big adjustments you had to make?
Adjustments, honestly, I don't think there were many because the practices are around the same length and time, and I just find that I work a lot better as a student when I'm constantly go, go, go. So the transition wasn't that difficult. Honestly, maybe a little better because for soccer, we travel a lot and there are a lot of double headers. And so with track, we just have one meet a week, so it's not as much travel.
Well, speaking of meets, this past weekend, you were at Bowdoin for the Maine State Pine Tree Classic, and you won the 1,500 meters and set a personal record. Take us through that race from your perspective.
So this is my second time running the 15. Uh-huh. The first time was at Wesleyan, both rainy days, so maybe I do just run better in the rain. I'm not sure. But it was nice because obviously out of finals, so you could tell that all of us were just completely stress-free and just excited to run. I also had a lot of Bates girls in my heat, so it's kind of nice to, like, look to the side when you're on the starting line and then see some of your teammates. So going into it, I don't know. I just didn't have a lot of thoughts in my brain. I didn't think I was going to PR by that much, and I just went out there and I ran, so.
And it's different heats, right? It's not everyone at once?
Yes. This one, I think, had two heats.
Okay. Were you the second heat?
The first heat.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you kind of had to wait to make sure you actually won the race. But, I mean, must have been nice to think.
Yes,
because there's a fast – you were probably in the faster heat, though, right?
Yeah, the first heat's the faster one. But, I mean, it will surprise you. Sometimes there are faster girls in the second heat. So, yes.
So what was it like crossing the finish line first there?
it was very exciting because I knew that the girl behind me was apparently a very good runner. Mm. And, obviously, there was a part where she kind of inched above me. And I was kind of relieved, actually, to come in first because I knew it was a battle to the end. And when you're running, you never know if the girl's going to pass you again. So I guess relief and excitement.
And then you helped the team finish second in the 4x400 relay. And
yes.
What's it like being part of a relay team?
I love the relays. They're super exciting. My parents keep saying maybe you should run all your races with a baton in your hand because I do tend to run a little faster. But, I mean, it's always nice because our relays, we have a little combo with the distance crew. So, like, Chrissy was in our relay. And I don't know. It just makes it even more fun when you get to combine with the teams.
And then for you personally, I mean, what distance is your ideal kind of distance? Because obviously there's all sorts of, you know, you have the 400, you have 1500 like you ran. There's longer races also, but what are your thoughts on that kind of?
So indoor, I would say my favorite distance was the 600.
Okay.
And outdoor, I'm in between now. I'm in between the 800 and the 15. I don't know which one I prefer more.
Gotcha. And then NESCAC Championship's coming up this weekend. So
yes.
Tell me a little about what the team's thoughts are heading into NESCACs and where we might be competing in, perhaps.
Yes. So I will be competing in the 800 and the 4x8.
Okay.
So lots of running there. and I think we're all just looking forward to it. I mean, it's nice that some other schools are heading into their finals now, and we just have this break, so we have time to recover, eat well, sleep, and so we'll just be fully prepped for the meet.
You know, coming into the track season, having never run track before, and you've obviously had a lot of success this being your first year, has it surprised you a little bit, or like, we were coming in pretty confident, like, oh, I'm going to do pretty well here?
Oh, I did not come in confident. No. I knew I was in shape from soccer, and I've always enjoyed running, and I guess just Coach Johnson saw something in me that he knew would transfer to track, so he's not surprised, but I am quite surprised.
All right, well, Kylie, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Congrats again, Female Bobcat of the Week. Thanks again.
Thank you.
The softball team split a doubleheader with Bowdoin on Sunday, winning game two by a count of 6-3, behind a complete game effort from sophomore Delaney Rankin in the circle. Rankin struck out 6 batters along the way and also went 1-for-3 at the plate with a run scored.
Well, Delaney, just tell me a little bit about, you know, year two in the Bates softball program for you as a pitcher. What are some things you've been working on kind of year one to year two to, you know, keep improving kind of as we go along here?
So year one to year two, I've really been working on my ability to go 7 innings strong. And so in the winter, I was in the gym a lot, working to get stronger and throw the ball harder. And I was trying to get my spin pitches tighter. So, yeah.
And then tell me a little bit about, you know, working with the catchers here at Bates and what you work on with them.
Yeah, I mostly work with Kennedy,
yep.
Our other sophomore. She's a catcher, and I work with her a lot on placing the ball and, like, why she calls the pitches she does. And I honestly trust her 1,000% with her pitch calling. I'll throw whatever she calls. I trust her with that. So we just work together really well.
Excellent. Well, take me through the Bowdoin victory here this past weekend. You pitched in game two of the doubleheader, got the win, complete game. So take us through what was working for you. And obviously, it was nice to have an early lead, right?
Yeah, so having an early lead is really, really nice.
Yeah.
And so I love to pitch for the lead. I think we scored in the second or third inning there, and I was just trying to keep us keep their runs low, and so that we could maintain our lead. And I think that Kennedy and I were just working really well together, and she kept me very grounded when things started to get a little rocky in the sixth inning. But yeah, I think it was a really good game overall, and I think we were just all working really hard. It was a full team effort.
And I was watching the video footage. Kennedy crushed that home run, huh?
Yeah, she did. I knew it was coming, too.
Yeah. And then your hometown last year was Vermont. We have you in Maine now.
Yeah. So actually, my hometown, if you look me up on the Bates Records or whatever, it has said that I'm from Harrison, Maine. So it's kind of a running joke that I am not from Vermont, but I went to high school. I lived 18 years of my life in Vermont.
Okay.
And my family moved to Harrison after I graduated high school. So technically, I guess I'm from Harrison, but I grew up in Vermont. So.
Gotcha. Okay. And then how does Maine kind of, you know, compare to Vermont? You know, New England, pretty similar or a little different?
It's a little different. I loved living in Vermont. All my high school friends, obviously, love them, but it's similar climate, I guess, but I really like Maine now. Like, I love the people I have here, so.
I was going to say, yeah, being from New England, pitching some of these interesting conditions is not a problem for you, it sounds like.
No, not a problem. I pitched in the snow, so.
And then tell me a little bit about, you know, your schedule you have coming up here. Obviously, hoping to get some home games in at some point, but what's the softball team most looking forward to here down the stretch?
We're really looking forward to having some home games.
Yeah.
It was tough last weekend when we had to play 4 home games away at Bowdoin, but it was nice that we got to use their field. We're looking forward to being at home. We have a big week this week, big NESCAC week, and non-conference with Husson. So we're just hoping to get some wins. This CBB, we took one from Bowdoin, so we're hoping to take some from Colby, too.
Yeah, and a fight for NESCAC tournament positioning and everything. What was it like last year to get a win in the tournament against the defending champs like you guys did?
Oh, that was awesome. I think me and our other pitcher, Madison, we knew the game plan going in that I was going to relieve for her, and I think we just did that really well last year. We really miss her, but yeah, that was awesome because it was the first time Bates has won a tournament game, so that was really fun, like making history with our team, and it was a big moment, so hopefully we can get back there.
Yeah, certainly. What are your thoughts you want to share on, you know, the victory over Bowdoin or the season so far we haven't got to talk about yet?
Not particularly. I think we're just excited to keep growing as a program. We're very young, so. And we're excited to celebrate our senior on Saturday, I think, against Wesleyan. Our one senior, it's her senior day, so.
Yeah, Rachel Liazos, and she had a huge game against Middlebury a few days back, right?
Huge game.
Yeah.
Huge game. She pulled us ahead with her RBIs. So.
What is it? Well, I was going to ask you, being from Vermont, you beat Middlebury last year, too.
I did, yeah. I guess it's just like a hometown rivalry, I guess. Not really hometown, but I did talk to their coach. I like her a lot in my recruiting process, and it was very interesting because the NSN announcers were my announcers in high school, so that was fun to be back with them. I talked to them after the game, so.
Excellent. Delaney Rankin, complete game victory there against Bowdoin on Sunday. More softball coming up this week. Stick with GoBatesBobcats.com. We'll have all the latest schedule updates for where the Bobcats will be. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
The rowing teams host their annual home regatta, the President's Cup, this Sunday. Last Sunday, they took to the Charles River for races with Trinity and the MIT Lightweights for the men's team, and Trinity and the Radcliffe Lightweights for the women's team. On the men's side, the 2nd Varsity 8 outraced both the Bantams and the Engineers. The Bobcats were less than 2 seconds ahead of the Bantams, and they beat the Engineers by open water. Senior Captain 2V Stroke Seat Andrew Fry joins the Bobcast to look back on an exciting race. Well, big day there down the Charles River for the men's rowing team, the 2nd Varsity 8, beating both Trendy and the MIT Lightweights. Senior Captain Stroke Seat Andrew Fry with us here on the Bobcast. And Andrew, just first of all, take us through the race from your perspective as the Stroke Seat and what allowed the team to have so much success there.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. You know, it was a really good, great day of racing. We, you know, off the line, were a bit behind, but we had a race plan going through, which was really to just hit it hard in the middle thousand. And our Cox and Darian Chang did a really great job holding us to it, making sure that we were setting a good rhythm, good base rate, and then just really holding us accountable. And we pulled through in the sprint, and it was a close race throughout the whole thing. But yeah, it was ended up going in our favor, and super, super stoked about it.
I noticed you're wearing a Trendy shirt, and that's a tradition in rowing, right? If you beat them, you get their shirt. So what's that like, that exchange?
Yeah, so I'm a senior now.
Yep.
And we had never faced Trinity before NER and IRC is two of our bigger races coming up later in the season. So super, super stoked to have a shirt. Yeah, when you race crews, the winning team gets the other team's shirts off their backs, so to speak. So it's kind of, it's a privilege to have other teams' shirts for sure. And kind of just, you know, it makes you feel like you've earned it.
Yeah, certainly. And you mentioned, you know, you being a senior, you're also one of the captains. So take us through that leadership role for you in that boat, because the second varsity eight sometimes will have younger rowers, and you're the leader there, right?
Yeah. So I would say captainship on the rowing team is really, you really have to hit it hard during the winter when the river's frozen and we're in the erg room and we're not practicing with our coach, and really just holding the guys accountable, keeping, we like to say, PMA high, positive mental attitude. So guys come in and they're excited and they're ready and willing to work so that when spring comes, we can hit it hard and then begin to win races.
Yeah, certainly. And then just what's the team like this year? What's the boat like in the 2V? What's the group kind of dynamic?
I would say we have a very deep team this year. We have a ton of walk-ons who are really putting it out there and trying to learn the sport, which is just awesome to see. Our 3V is super competitive, and we've been having a lot of sea racing this past few weeks as we like to call comparisons, to really try and dial in lineups going forward. And, you know, the 2V or the V16 rather, is just always been competitive, and we continue to get competitive as the season goes on. We always make progress, and it's just great to see. I think we have a lot of great guys, and it's been super, super exciting.
We finally get a home regatta this Sunday. It's the only home regatta every year for the rowing teams, but it's always very exciting, the women and the men. It's all the scores combined to see who wins the President's Cup against Bowdoin and Colby. What do you enjoy most about the President's Cup?
Well, I think the atmosphere is incredible. Getting so much support from both students and faculty is really something that we don't get a lot because, like you mentioned, it's our one home race. But also just Bowdoin and Colby are amazing competitors. We've managed to hold the title for, I think, the past 12 years or some odd amount of years.
COVID won a couple times. The Wind won one time. Yeah. But, yeah, Bates has won the outright title 10 straight years. Yeah.
Yeah, so they come at us with absolutely everything. And so we give them the competitors that we are, and we look forward to racing them.
Yeah, certainly. And then, you know, you mentioned the two bigger regattas coming up, you know, England's and NIRC's. What are your early thoughts on kind of those?
It's going to be close.
Yeah.
I think D3 for rowing this year in particular, it looks very deep and very competitive. A lot of the teams are, the way it's shaping up is that, you know, as we cross the finish line, we're going to have a lot of overlap between boats. It'll be a very close field. And I think all the guys are super excited to kind of go out there and prove ourselves.
Yeah, certainly. Well, you're a senior now, but take us back when you were in high school looking at colleges. What made Bates the place for you?
Well, with COVID and everything, I wasn't actually sure that I was going to row. So I came to Bates and tried it out, and the practices and schedule and school was all, you know, completely different. But I liked just the work ethic that the guys had and a lot of the attitude that we have and take towards being a student athlete. And I think as those guys began to graduate, we took that and we tried to really improve it and make steps to the team that we are today, which I think is really one that enjoys working hard, but then also playing hard too.
When did you start rowing growing up?
So I started my freshman year of high school, and I was actually a coxswain for a year and a half. Yeah, I had a bit of a growth spurt, so I grew the position. But I, you know, was didn't hit my growth spurt yet, so I wanted some sport to make me stronger, and my mother suggested rowing, and that's kind of how this all got started.
So you started out as a coxswain. So what was it like moving from coxswain to actually, you know, being one of the people, you know, moving the oars?
It was a bit of a transition.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I would cox on water days and row on land days.
Okay.
So I had a bit more of a smooth transition, but it was definitely nice to get a full perspective of the different positions in the boats. And I think that made me a better rower today.
Yeah, and your stroke seat, obviously rowing is very much a team sport, but the stroke seat does have kind of an extra cachet sometimes, I guess, if you will. What's the key to being a good stroke seat?
Just setting a rhythm, I think, and responding to your coxswain rapidly. So, you know, if whatever they say, you are kind of the one to put it into action. So just setting a good rhythm that all the guys behind you can follow. It's really just, it sounds simple. It's a bit more hard than that. But, yeah, it's definitely a privilege to be in the seat.
Yeah, you mentioned your first year. For those of you keeping track, the senior class this year, their first year was 2020, 2021. So we're in the height of COVID in the fall. Nothing's going on. We get a little bit in the spring, if I recall, your freshman year. But obviously, maybe as a first year, you didn't get an opportunity. I don't know. Did you get on the water at all?
So, yeah, it was a weird mix of being in singles. And
yeah.
We were, like, the first day we got in an eight, there was a COVID outbreak. So that shut it down.
Yeah.
But then towards spring, the V16 were able to practice in eights and able to race a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a spare for those races moving forward. But yeah, it was a strange period of time for sure.
So your first real season was your sophomore year. What was that kind of like, getting into the groove?
That was exciting.
Yeah.
Totally exciting. We had a great senior class. And it was awesome to see the transition of what our experience with rowing had been to what it was supposed to be like. Yeah, it was great.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you want to share on this past weekend's races for the men's rowing team, just for your boat and also the other boats as well, perhaps?
Yeah, totally. I think it was a really strong weekend just for the team in general. You know, the 2V had a victory, but that you can only have a victory in one boat. Just like a victory in one boat is a team victory, so mm-hmm. to speak, because, you know, the 3V pushes the 2V, which pushes the 1V. And all boats across the board had made a serious improvement since our races against Wesleyan and Tufts. And having never raced Trinity before this early in the season, it's almost more than we could hope to be both right next to them and beating them in some cases. Yeah, it was super amazing.
And the 2V beat the MIT Lightweights. And I believe this weekend, before the President's Cup, you're squaring off against the MIT Heavyweights, right?
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on that?
We're expecting some stiff competition for sure, but we're going into it super excited.
All right. Andrew Fry, senior captain of the Bobcat Stroke Sea in the second varsity eight, victorious over the Bantams and the Engineers this past weekend there on the Charles River. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
The women's second varsity eight had perhaps the most interesting finish of the day as they tie the Radcliffe Lightweights for second place, a rarity in rowing, where you can break times down to a hundredth of a second. Senior 2V coxswain Ollie Celine joins us to look back on the dead heat. We've got women's second varsity eight coxswain Ollie Celine with us here on the Bobcast, and you had quite the interesting race this past weekend. You actually finished in a tie, dead heat, with the Radcliffe team, or Radcliffe crew, I should say. Take us through that race and what's it like to finish in, I've never seen that before, honestly, in a dead heat.
Yeah, we still like to say we crossed a little bit in front of Radcliffe, but they say it's a tie, we'll take the tie. But yeah, coming off the line, racing a lot of D1 programs, as we do throughout the season, is a really interesting challenge because you never quite know what's going to happen on the water, and they're not programs that we consistently see throughout the rest of our season, so we don't quite have a gauge on how we'll compare. So coming off the line, we were next to Trinity and then Radcliffe on the outside. So a lot of my focus was on the Trinity crew, as that's an SCAT competitor. But then coming through the first 500, I realized, wait, Radcliffe's right there. And that we were still very competitive with that other crew. So coming through into the third 500, we really started to push in that crew. And once we realized, like, oh, we're moving on that crew, and that's someone we could really take, which isn't something that's happened in previous years. It was really exciting to be able to start really pushing into that shell, taking a lot of space, and also kind of forcing that momentum towards Trinity. And then coming across the line, it was very, I'm on stroke seat, I'm on coxswain, I'm on stroke seat, but we like to say we think we finished a little bit ahead, but that's okay. We'll still take the tie because it was a really awesome race to bring some momentum into the back half of our season.
Yes, yeah, certainly. And last time we had you on, you had actually just, I think, coxed the first varsity eight at the head of the Charles. Mm-hmm. And you're the 2V coxswain right now, and you also coxed the 2V at the head of the Charles this past fall. So take us through that race in the fall and that experience, because I feel like that's really a coxswain's time to shine, right?
Yeah, so this fall, it was really interesting. We obviously had a lot of members abroad, and we graduated out a pretty large class. But our first year class has been absolutely phenomenal. They bring so much energy and positivity to the team, and we've absolutely adored bringing them into the program. So coming into the Hat of the Charles, I was really excited because I had a relatively young crew and a lot of people who either have never raced the Charles or have never raced it with a Bates uniform. So that was really exciting. So taking through that race, we started in a field of first varsity eights, but knowing we had WPI behind us, we actually had a pretty exciting moment at Weeks where we were dead even with them for about 500 meters. And I remember looking at them, looking at my stroke seat, being like, okay, if they're not going to walk us, I'm not going to yield. Like, we got to go. So it was a very exciting race to kind of push off of those other 1V crews, really start to make some space for ourselves, and just give a lot of competitors their first shot wearing the Bates B down the Charles course, which is always incredibly exciting.
And Weeks, for the amateurs, novices around, that's one of the bridges?
Yes. So Weeks is a 90-degree turn through a bridge.
Okay.
So it's definitely a tricky spot. You don't want to get caught on the outside of another crew. You want to take it alone and make sure that you can really hit the turn without having to worry about anybody else.
And for those who don't know, Ollie was featured today, I think, in Row 2K, which is basically where everyone goes for their rowing news nationally, kind of, row2k.com. You were featured, and I know Lucy Del Cole has been featured before. So what's it like to have both the Bates coxswains now having been featured on that website?
Yeah, that was awesome. I think Bates has a tremendous group of coxswains, both on the women's team and the men's team as well. It's really fun to get to work with such an ambitious and confident group of coxswains. And we all work really, really well together. So getting to push the crews, no matter what shell you're in. And then also getting an opportunity like Row 2K to kind of show off a little bit with both me and Lucy, I think is definitely a little bit of fun, because not a lot of people know what goes on in the coxswain seat. It's definitely a little bit of an elusive position in athletics, but it's really fun to get to share our favorite moments and what we've learned with the greater rowing community, and also to help out maybe newer coxswains coming into the sport or people who are just looking for another perspective.
I know you're a senior now, right? Mm-hmm. Past couple of years, a lot of success in the third varsity eight. What's it like moving up a little bit?
It's been really fun. I've definitely absolutely loved my last few seasons being in the 3V in the spring. That is always a really competitive boat, and it's a fun boat to be in, to be right on the heels of the V16, making sure that we can make them the fastest that we can. Coach always talks a lot about, yes, we send two boats to NCAAs, but it's really about the whole team. Everybody has to push up to make sure that we can make the fastest crew we can and have a really representative and deep team of talent.
Excellent. And then this home weekend, we've got the President's Cup on Sunday, the lone home regatta for Bates. So what's it like from your perspective in the President's Cup?
Yeah, President's Cup is so much fun. It's awesome. We never really get to race near home. So it's a pretty unique opportunity for people in our area to come see what it's all about and also check out the boathouse, which is absolutely beautiful. Racing Colby Bowden, I think the University of Maine is coming as well.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah, which is always really, really fun to kind of test out. We don't get to see them a lot throughout our normal season, so it's always fun to have the classic CBB clash down the river, and especially on our home course is always a ton of fun. It'll be interesting to see, too. We put out some first-year boats, some first-year fours, so getting to test our different class years against the other teams is always really exciting.
I know there's like a novice eight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's got to be exciting because, I mean, I know the rowing program at Bates, a long history of, you know, people who haven't ever rowed before coming in. What's it like working with those folks who have never rowed before as a coxswain?
Oh, yeah. It's really interesting getting, especially now as an upperclassman, telling them, like, it's totally okay. It feels weird and scary and hard, and it feels like you're never going to pick it up. But we had a lot of athletes actually join through this winter on the team, so their first experience was on the erg, which is really difficult because that's very hard. It's in this room, and it's dark, and it's cold, and you don't really know what rowing's about at the moment. But then getting them to transition on boats, they really see what all that work is for, and also that it's 100% possible. We have members in every shell on the boat right now who came onto the team not having any idea what rowing was, where the oar went, or really what was going on. But there's so much room to grow and build. If you have the right mindset, you come in with that athlete mentality, it is 100% possible as a rower or a coxswain to come in and just see what Bates rowing is about. And we love to bring in new members to the team.
Now, you're from Ohio. What's it been like racing in New England compared to growing up in the Midwest? Because I know you were a coxswain throughout high school too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super different.
Okay.
So, yeah, rowing in the Midwest really isn't too popular. I had never heard of it. And so my brother did it, and I thought it was super weird. I hated regattas. They were just cold and rainy, and I didn't really understand anything about the sport because I'd never seen it. But then coming into it the year after he rode, I absolutely loved it. It was just such the perfect team mentality, and it was finally a group that I felt was all really pushing towards one goal and just unlike any other sport I'd ever done before. So coming up through Midwest rowing, there really isn't a lot of people, at least on my program, who were looking at rowing in college or pursuing rowing much further after the high school career or outside of the Midwest. So that was definitely something that was a little bit scary coming into college, being one of the only people to go outside of the Midwest and also for rowing. But I think that program prepared me really, really well to be here. And it's actually really exciting. The NCAA this year is at my old home course.
Right.
So
okay.
That's definitely fun to see if we qualify to get to have, you know, my first race of high school and my potentially last race of college at the same venue.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, because I remember when I saw where NCAA's was, I was like, Ohio. Like,
oh, yeah.
It hasn't been there ever, has it?
I don't believe yeah. so. Yeah, so that's really exciting. I have a lot of I coached for my yeah. home team, and I have a lot of former teammates and coaches who are really excited to have that level of competition in somewhere like Ohio to show a lot of athletes who don't get exposure to something like Head of the Charles or larger races that this is what your rowing can take you to.
I'm curious because obviously a 2K course, it's a straight line no matter where you are, but I'm sure there's differences between courses. So give us a preview of what we might see this year at NCAAs.
Oh, yeah. So Harsh is definitely a unique course. I think something very interesting about Ohio rowing is every body of water in Ohio is man-made. So they're constructed very uniquely, a lot of cement, not a lot of nice edges or wide open rivers. So I grew up rowing on a reservoir. And then Harsha, down south, it's about 2 hours from where I grew up rowing. It's in the middle of a state park, so not a lot around it, but I'd say it is one of my favorite venues. The full last 1,000 meters is on a beach, so you can run right next to the crews. You can follow their sprint all the way home, and they also do water landing, so you'll run out in the water and greet all the crews after they race. It's definitely very interactive between the viewers and the racers, which I think always keeps things really exciting.
So you don't come back to a dock?
There is a dock, yeah, just when you have like a ton of boats coming in and out, and if people obviously after finals want to sit there and celebrate, you can just bring it down the beach.
Gotcha. Excellent. Well, any other thoughts you want to share on the team so far and what you're looking forward to most with the championship season coming up soon?
Yeah, I am really, really excited to see the rest of the season for this team. As I mentioned earlier, we have a lot of first years come in who have the best energy that we could have had on this team. And I think everyone from top to bottom going through every class year and then obviously with our seniors, we're really excited to see where we can take this team. We've been building momentum through the start of the season, pushing. Obviously now we're in the latter half, so a lot more practices, speed work, getting quicker, kind of starting to fine-tune things up. But every race, I'm just really excited to see what Bates is going to do. And I think that mindset will continue through the end of the season. And I look forward to see how the positivity and the confidence we've had thus far will translate into those larger regattas.
All right. Ali Celine Coxon of the Women's Second Varsity 8 finished in a dead heat officially against the Radcliffe Lightweights this past weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The lacrosse teams conclude their respective seasons on Wednesday as the women's team hosts Colby at 7 p.m., while the men play the Mules at the same time in Waterville. The baseball team takes on Bowdoin twice and Colby three times this week with the NESCAC tournament on the line. Meanwhile, softball will celebrate Senior Day Saturday when they host Wesleyan for a twin bill. Keep up with all the latest schedule changes and all the Bates Athletics news fit to print at GoBatesBobcats.com, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.